Jar Jar Binks, it's the Dharma Lars podcast.
He's going to entertain you.
I don't even know if we should call this Dharma Lars podcast this week.
Dharma Lars?
Dharma Lars.
I don't know. Why would you? Because it's because they don't give away boxes of Dharma Lars on the show we're about to talk about?
No, but they give away dogs, according to some people who don't know how to put in pricing bids.
What?
Oh, man.
What?
How many people actually know that much about The Price is Right? That are out
as
there?
As much as you?
Not as much as me, but just like a casual viewer. Like, how many people still watch this show?
You know, anyone who calls in sick, I'm sure, watches it.
Millions?
Millions and millions of people every day calling in sick. It's, I mean, substitute teachers have jobs. Temps have jobs.
Bob Barker's my weekday nanny.
That sounds like a bumper sticker.
It is.
Is he your co-pilot?
It is. No. That's
no.
Jesus Christ, my savior and master of
all. I'm sorry. I often get Jesus Christ, our savior, and Bob Barker confused.
They're just about as old as each other. Except I think...
Oh, we've done a lot of Bob Barker talk. We haven't even like said what we're going to talk about.
Well, it's obvious.
Hello. If anyone out there hasn't picked up on it yet, this is the Dharma Lars, podcast, and today we'll be talking about The Price is Right.
The 60-minute spectacular Price is Right.
With the Showcase Showdown and that big wheel that they spin and underbidding and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And why are we talking about it, Ralph?
Because about a month and a half ago, the Dharma Lars, all three of the four Dharma Lars.
Three of the four Dharma Lars.
Attended a taping of The Price is Right, which will be airing January 24th.
Which is a Wednesday.
On CBS.
Yeah, that's right. So we would like to discuss our experience. And introduce ourselves. I'm Ben, and that's Ralph. I mean, I already called you Ralph, but no one knew who I was over here.
Yeah.
And we'd like to talk about our experience going down to see if The Price is Right being taped, which for Ralph was a huge, huge thing.
Huge thing. And for Ryan as well.
And Price, for me, it was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, but still, I mean,
I enjoyed it.
It's definitely still something that's from, like, your childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, who has followed the show, like, for a really long time. Like, I mean, I remember watching it like every day in the summertime. That's my summers were spent with The Price is Right.
Waking up, watching The Price is Right
before The Price is Right was usually the last. It was like the last thing to do before. Because it ends at about 11 o'clock, and then that's about time you go out and do stuff.
Time to start doing whatever your summer things are.
Yeah, lemonade stand.
You didn't have a lemonade stand.
Bullshit, I didn't.
Did you really?
Hell yeah.
Did
are
you sell
kidding
lemonade
me?
To Nomar Garcia Parra?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you should have.
He did go to my high school, but he lived elsewhere.
You had a lemonade stand in this day, in that day and age.
This is like 1983 when I was six.
How much did you charge per lemonade?
I don't know, like a nickel or a penny. It wasn't very much.
That's awesome, bro.
And then I'd use that money to buy ice
Limeade.
Cream from the ice cream lady who worked on in the same beat as I did.
Ooh, you sold out to your own competitor.
No, it's
for refreshment.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, you sold out to her in terms of giving her your profit.
It was just the roundabout way of my mom buying me an ice cream, I suppose.
Because she was probably buying all the lemonade.
Yeah.
She was buying you the product to make the lemonade and then buying the lemonade off you.
Yeah. No, no. People buy... Dude, about, I'd say 2 years ago, we were at a park in Placentia, California. And on our way out, you have to go through a small neighborhood. And there was children selling lemonade.
Just like,
and we pulled over the side and bought some lemonade from the kids because you know what?
Pulled over the side and jacked them.
It sounded really good, and you know what? It was delicious lemonade, and I actually got myself two cups.
Nice,
like Dixie cups, a little bit bigger.
That's awesome. I mean, that's entrepreneurial.
Now,
that's America.
If it's the other way around, where I'm asking the kids for money and trying to sell them lemonade from my car, that's the problem.
Hey, kids, give me some money. I've got some lemonade in the back of my van.
But by doing business at the lemonade stand, it helped me figure out how products are sold and the prices and the retail price.
Well, that's interesting.
And
what would you do with such a skill?
Win millions of dollars on The Price is Right.
Yay!
Well, not millions.
Tie it back in. Now, what were you saying earlier? Dogs. Did someone say, like... Was it like guessing the price of something and someone said, oh, that would cost about two dogs?
Well, Bob Barker is a strong advocate of controlling the pet population.
Yes.
And one of the ways he promotes this is by having the Barker's Beauties, which are the models
not
for the
dogs.
Show. Not dogs. Maybe Janice. But you, what they do is they'll bring out a cute, adorable puppy, and like during the bidding portion of the show, and say, you know, this is so and so, and he's looking for a mommy and daddy, and
like an adoption thing.
Yeah, and it's an adoption thing, and it's usually for like the L.A. Pound or whatever. I don't know what it is. But a lot of people who are sitting there waiting to bid on like their recliner,
right?
Or whatever, don't realize that it's just a kind of a
it's like a public service
or whatever.
Announcement.
Yeah. So you
they
can tell.
On the dog?
I remember a few weeks ago, a lady said, "Oh, I was just saying we really need a pet in the house." Lady didn't realize that.
Like she thought she might win the dog.
Yeah, she felt that she had a bid on the chair and what, the dog.
What was that sign we saw that one time? Like at the pet store, it was like. Puppy, $20.
Yeah, and we're like, puppy, $25. And I was like, oh my gosh, we should go buy one.
I've got $25.
$25.
And I'd have a puppy. But it was like $25 a month. I think it was in the fine print.
I don't know what it was, but it was a lot.
$25 per paw.
So that's what people do on the prices. Right?
They bid for the poor animals.
People who don't understand the show fully tend to feel that they should bid on the animal.
That's pretty funny. Well, how did this all come about, us being on The Price is Right?
Well,
not being on
it,
sadly.
It was maybe a week or so before we decided to order our tickets. Ryan sent me an email, and it had a link that said that Bob Barker is retiring in June. And, I mean, this is a big deal, because Bob Barker has been hosting The Price is Right since 1972.
That's before either of us were born.
Yes. And so I was like, well, shit, we've always wanted to go. There's no excuse. Let's do it. So we picked a date, got a bunch of people on board for December 4th, and sent out some emails and gave The Price is Right a call. They called me back, and there you have it. The wheels were set in motion.
And it was set up like a group. And it was like we had told them that we were bringing this set amount of people for
yeah,
a group.
Yeah, there's a thing. What you do is you can do anyone could call and get tickets if The Price is Right. But when you get there, there's a line and you're kind of herded like cattle. And it's kind of a tricky situation.
Crowd control's huge. They do what, 3 shows a day?
Two
shows?
And it's an ordeal. It's like a really long, like I think about a 4-hour ordeal or something. And
there's
no
guarantees.
Unless you have a group, which is a party of 20 to 25, which me and Ryan were very confident that we can get that amount of people.
The Price is Right. The show's been on forever. People would love to go see it.
Yeah. And with enough warning, I mean, we had a good, over a month to gather people.
I'd say about 6 weeks, yeah.
A lot of people climbed on board really quickly.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I took a day off work.
Yeah, a lot of people did because they were really excited to go see The Price is Right with Bob Barker.
So having this like group of people helps
it
give
guarantees,
you a chance.
It guarantees your 20 people a spot in the theater in the Bob Barker studio
with
the
minimum weight.
And the rumor is that someone from your group is pretty much automatically going to be picked to go down.
If you have a big group.
Yes.
And when we were there, the one we saw taped. I mean, I don't know. Are we doing the structure? Is it okay to jump ahead and talk about
One of the main things with the me coordinating this and Ryan coordinating this, the lady who's in charge of doing the show coordination told us that we're responsible. We're the guys in charge. So we got the 20. We got about, I think.
So you asked for an exec credit. And
yeah, like 23 people to go with us, which met our quota.
23.
Yeah. And then I think it was 3 days before the time we were going, about 15 people bailed out on us, which totally fucks the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Because that now means it doesn't guarantee our entry into the show.
They kind of, you know, they kind of took it personally too. The people at The Price is Right, they were like, "Wait, you have less than you told us you'd have."
Yeah, and that was the thing. But
that
was
like scored against us.
Well, yeah, and the problem with that, like with that, is like we knew that going into it.
Yeah,
me and Ryan knew that it would fuck our chances.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as people started dropping out, And these aren't even people that, like, called me and said, hey, I can't go. These are people who I called and said, hey, you're up for the Price is Right
Don't
still,
forget,
right?
We're going on Friday.
Or on Monday.
We're going on Monday and today's
And they're like,
Saturday.
Oh, I can't go. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So it was a huge clusterfuck. We ended up, I think, with 17 people.
I think that sounds right.
And which just, it just, I mean, totally just fucked everything over. I mean, it pretty much made it so no one from our group was picked. And we barely got in.
Yeah, we were
because
like,
you have all these people who didn't buy group tickets who are waiting to get their chance to go in.
And the people that were there, like, on spec, that had been there since 5 in the morning, like Ryan said, got to go in ahead of us. We were, like, automatically bumped to the bottom of the line.
Yeah.
So it was rough, but, you know, it seems like, oh, God, it sucks that, you know, 14, 15 people bailed or however many. I guess six. If we went from 23 to 17, or did you find, like, alternates?
We found last-minute people.
So, like, 10 people bailed. That's, like, that really sucks, but, you know, on a case-by-case basis, each person is just one person flaking out.
No, there was a couple that were, like, a few people.
It's
It fucked everybody else over.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a very, very, very long weekend.
So the day started off kind of heinous because of it.
Yes, and the day
we were sad.
And the thing is, the thing that sucks is for me and Ryan, who are setting this up, and who's
huge fans,
who's talking with Chuck, the head page. I mean, this is a dude with a clipboard and like an ear talkie thingy, and like a walkie talkie. And this guy is all business.
Yeah,
like this guy has to coordinate 300 people from a group of maybe 400 people twice a day.
Get them all
in order according to priority.
Double check their social security number. Yeah. Make sure that they know the rules. Make sure they haven't been on the show before.
Get them screened so that they know if you're not going to get like crazy people going up on stage.
And it was one of those cases where, I mean, I've dealt with people like this before where like they tell you things that I'm not a moron, so I can understand what the procedure should be, but they have to say it over and over and over again because he deals with so many people that he could say it 20 times a day and there'd still be 5 people that get it wrong.
And the thing is that sucks is now that I have to approach him
and say,
oh, you know how on your clipboard that you're meticulously taken care of?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we have, you know, 10 less.
Yeah, we lied to you.
So it's... For me and Ryan, setting this up is like, now we look like bad guys. And then we have to talk to you and the other people and say, I don't know if we're going to get in.
Thanks
and
for
I
coming
dragged
down.
You, I dragged you out at 10 in the morning, like, for a close to 2-hour drive. And now I can't guarantee you we're getting in because of some other people.
But what we do have to do is sit here for 4 hours and hope we get in.
Yes.
So yeah, it's the day started off as a bummer.
Yeah, It was definitely a rough time, and the whole time I'm thinking, you know, I just want to be in there. I just want to go in. So we sit in line, we finally get it, and it's like pretty much like set in stone. They give us our name tags, and then I was actually happy.
Yeah.
My day started something like at 8 in the morning, and the time I got my name tag was probably close to 2.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, just the anticipation and the worrying to see if you're even going to get to go in is, like, pretty crazy.
But those name tags, I mean, that's, like, so iconic.
Yes.
That's a huge bring-up. Yes. Like, we were...
And for those of you who are wondering, you do not get to write your own name on the name tag.
Yeah, they write it for you. I'm looking at Ralph's right here.
Chuck did mine for me.
Yeah. Chuck told me
a joke. He said he looked at my social security number and my ID and said... Oh, I like your supermarkets. Because here in Southern California, there's Ralph's supermarkets.
No, because there's a chain of supermarkets called 555-013839.
Yeah. The funny thing is I actually, this is a whole different side story, is I went back the Friday after to watch Dave Price audition for his, since Bob Barker's leaving. He was auditioning.
The dude's last name is Price.
Yeah.
That's priceless.
And Chuck, who was herding the cattle again, came up to me. I showed him my ID and my social security number, and he said, oh, I like your supermarkets. I said, yeah, you told me that on Monday. And he just looked at me and said, there's so many people that come through here. I said, I figured.
Did you tell him, I like your E-cheeses?
I said, I got
Chuck
it.
Chuck E-cheeses, yeah.
I said, real original, you fucking dumbass. So anyway,
what about your friend who went to the Grove?
No. We all met up at a place called the Grove, which is near Television City. It's a huge.
I got an apple.
It's a huge shopping area called the Grove. Well, there's also a concert venue in Anaheim.
Oh, that's
2 hours away,
right.
Which is called the Grove. And he called me at noon, the time we're supposed to be checking in.
We're going to meet at the Grove.
Hey, I'm at the Grove, 2 hours away. Awesome.
I hope everyone can. I mean, like we'll say Anaheim and Television City. Not everyone across the country knows how far away that is. But literally, it would take him 2 hours to drive from that one place to the place.
Mostly
where
because
we're
of traffic.
Also, that's dumb. I mean,
it is
you know, I love him like a brother, but why would we be meeting across the street from his house to go see a show that's being taped out in Burbank?
Yeah. I mean, Television City.
Yeah.
No, it's Television City. It's a city.
Is it close, though?
Of televisions.
The mayor is a knob.
A
total knob.
So, this is, I mean, it was definitely a long day, but we got our name tags. We were very happy. Because that's a huge event. I mean, I'm sure Ryan was very, very, very excited about getting his name tag.
He was waving his hands in the air like he just didn't care.
He didn't care. Not a lick of care. So after you're in this huge line, they kind of rustle you towards Russell?
Russell? Sure.
Sure.
Rassle? Wrangle? Wrangle?
They wrangle?
Ruffles?
They point you in the direction of this dude and a lady sitting next to the dude.
This dude was quality.
This guy is like Ryan Seacrest.
He's like the best college comic with like pep
and
energy.
Really shitty. Like he had the Vans, checkered Vans.
He was the screener.
And they took groups of 10, and he would essentially be like J.D. Roth. Hey, guy, how's it going? Tell me. Hey, Ralph.
J.D. Roth.
Hey, Ralph. What do you do for a living? And you kind of have to like try to be all excited. As if you're going to be on The Price is Right, and so they can tell that you're not a weirdo, but at the same time have a lot of energy.
Because everyone knows.
I mean,
like,
how much energy can you give this dude?
When he asks you, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm not going to be like, man, my job sucks, bro, but hey, come on down.
Yeah.
It's a tough, fine line to walk.
So it's just, you know, you talk to that guy, and you're like, oh my God, okay, fine. So you're done with that, and the lady takes down her notes, and you I guess they pretty much know by then whether you're going to be called up or not.
Yeah.
They
probably knew before we went.
And then you get forwarded to, like, a different line.
Another holding area.
And you're just, like, sitting there, and you're just like, oh, man. God, I've been sitting in uncomfortable benches all day long.
It's all, like, holding areas like you get at amusement parks, like Magic Mountain or, like, outside the Magic Eye Theater.
Like a bus station. It's, like, really different. It's like, because you're in a holding area. You move forward as a group, and then in a, like, it's just sectioned.
And everyone's in a number. You have to sit, everyone's given a number, and you sit in order.
First of all, the Bob Barker studio is a huge, it looks like on the outside, like a big old nasty warehouse.
Yeah.
With crappy posters of CBS shows. And so you essentially.
And posters of the good shows, like Numbers.
Like 3 hours, like 3 hours, 4 hours, you're being around here. It's like you're on one side of the building, then you get to move to the sunny side.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to the other side, the sun started like go down.
We spent literally at least an hour waiting on one of three sides of this building.
Yeah. It was.
And you're right. Like we were in the sun on two different sides of the building because we followed it in its path across the sky.
And it's just like so insane because it's the nastiest, ugliest building. Like it's all chipped.
On the outside.
It's like black paint and it's chipped. And it's just nasty. So we're like, this has to be the final one. We all turn in our cell phones. We have to all turn in our anything.
Yeah.
Because, well, dude, I mean, shit, I don't even think my cell phone's off now, and it should be. But this is The Price is Right.
Yeah, you got to turn your cell phone off. But they took them all and gave you, like, a check.
Yeah.
Like a coat check.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So it's just, like, absolutely insane. So we're finally in this line, and they say, go to the bathroom now. If you need to go to the bathroom, the bathroom's over here.
Well, they were taping that, too, for another game show.
Yeah. So I pee-peed.
The piss is right.
The price is cock.
$1. Number $1.
So it's just the nastiest building. And then we're sitting around, and who knows what's going on. The show was supposed to tape at 4 o'clock. That's about 3:10, I would say. And they start herding us up these stairs. Now, we will actually make it inside the building.
Yeah.
You go into this room, and it's a tiny room with two flights of stairs. And it's like concrete. Concrete walls, bubble gum on the floor.
Like an old fair.
It's so gross and just nasty, and it's like just, ugh.
Yeah.
But there's a huge Price is Right painted on the wall.
Which is cool.
And you walk up, and there's a huge CBSI logo in pink neon. And you think, okay.
From 1986.
Okay, so as soon as you get to the top of these stairs, you see a couple of doors off to your left, and there's glitter.
Yeah.
There's this glitter, and I'm like, holy shit.
It's like going through the tunnel to Toontown. The curtain pulls back, and here we are.
It's like that retarded Billy Crystal story he always tells about going to the Yankee Stadium for the first time. Like,
yeah.
He says on it every time he has to talk about anything, he mentions that. It's on like, the documentary of 61. It's in City Slickers. It's on Ken Burns Baseball. It's like, dude, we get it. The dark tunnel and then the green grass. Yeah, okay. But it was just like that. It's just like that.
Yeah, it went from dingy to...
Unbelievable. It's
fabulous.
Amazing. Like, you probably can't see this as much on the air as you do in real life, but... That place is fucking covered head to toe in glitter.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. Like, it's
like if a rainbow fucked Vegas.
It's like if a stripper lap danced on
me. And then I went and saw The Price is Right.
Sixth grade artwork. It's fucking glittertastic. And, you know, after seeing it for so many years, I heard it was small in there.
And it kind of was.
It kind of was, but I was kind of ramping up for it to be really small. What got me at first was the way it was configured.
It was very broad.
There's three doors, but the third door on the right is like at a 90-degree angle. You always think that they always seem like they're just flat up against one side, all facing towards the audience.
Like,
there's,
you think,
one
the
at a 90-degree angle.
Three doors,
yeah,
like someone's garage.
But that you can't really see the one at the 90-degree angle. Because it runs parallel with the audience view.
Yeah. Perpendicular.
Well, it runs perpendicular with the other two doors.
Right.
But it's parallel with the way the audience is facing.
Yes, exactly.
So that you can't really see.
If you were sitting in the right seat, one eye would be looking on one side of the door and the other would be looking on the other side.
And it was
interesting to see
the absolutely cameras. Absolutely just amazing. It was just insane for me. Like, I could not contain myself. It was,
and you know,
so
after the
awesome.
Long bummer of a day, like, are we going to get in? Oh, it sucks that everyone flaked.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been outside. It was really kind of cool to go in there and be like, wow, look at this. I saw this show when I was like 3.
And where there aren't rainbow curtains or glitter, there are these CBS curtains.
Oh,
which
those
are
great.
Which are these red. It's just red. No, it's white with red CBS eyes all over them.
Yeah.
And you know they're there since whenever that stage was built. It's definitely from the 50s.
And it's just like a print.
And so just being in there, it, you could definitely feel the layers of history. It was kind of strange. And you could see, like, old people on the stage who are working, and then some young people who are also working. And it's very strange to see all these different age groups. Like, you could tell guys who were there from the beginning and guys who were
just,
you know,
new guys.
Just the new guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. So we get in there at like 3:10, something like that. And I swear to God, as soon as the last seat was filled and the last person sat down, this music kicked in, this Price is Right
remix
kicked in, and it was the strangest thing. And then you hear Rich Field, the announcer, say, and now the host of Price is Right, Rich Field, and the curtain opens, and you can see him holding his microphone because he just introduced himself, and he just started to put the microphone down and ran on the stage. And I was very excited to see the most plastic guy in the universe, Rich Field, the current announcer of the Price is Right. And he brought some people up. Our friend Jeff went up, and they had people dance, and Jeff got to go on stage, which was cool. I didn't have the balls to do it, but I couldn't take it anymore because I was too.
Us up, dude.
I mean, you're talking like 27 years of
of watching this show,
of knowing,
here it is,
being aware of this show, and now I'm in there. It's a pretty insane thing.
It's kind of cool.
And I shit you not, after 4 or 5 hours, or God, we were there, we were getting ready to go for such a long time that by the time we sat down, it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes before they started the show up.
Yeah, seriously, they warmed us up and then they went.
Yeah, they started the show at like,
and the show runs like clockwork.
Yes.
It filmed in, they filmed a what is it, 44 minute? A 44 minute show in 46 minutes tops.
No, it probably took an hour because it seemed like the commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah, they did the commercial breaks.
During commercial breaks, they dim the lights, they reset all the stuff, you know, wheel out cars or whatever, and get the stuff set up, and Bob Barker comes out.
That's right. Well, it couldn't have been more than an hour and 2 minutes.
No. But, you know, the greatest thing, I couldn't believe that it was actually starting already. I thought maybe Bob might come out and talk to us first, but no. They start up the music, and you hear Rich calling out the names. But it's so... But
yeah,
it's so loud that they actually held up cue cards facing the audience that said the people's names. And it's so insanely loud in there. And the next thing you know, the doors open up and there's a fucking animatronic dude that looks just
putting,
like Bob Barker.
Down a glass of water and standing up.
And it's Bob Barker. It's Bob Barker. And he walks out and you're just like, holy shit. And the Barker's Beauty come out and get hands over the mic. And it's so surreal. It's just absolutely insane.
And it's just this he steps into it and it just starts happening. Now
yeah,
the Price is Right is happening in front of my eyes.
And by the time it actually sinks in that you're actually there and you're part of this experience, there's only like 2 more games left. Like it just flew by so fast. I spent 4 hours outside and now it's almost done.
I can't even tell you
how excited I was when Bob Barker came out. Like, I'm sure Ryan is with me out here. Like, it was...
I'm sure the audience.
Absolutely fucking insane.
It was pretty sweet, dude. I mean,
it was
that
awesome.
Guy's like an icon of TV.
Yeah.
What? I'm just saying. I mean, I didn't lose my shit or anything, but it was really cool.
I did.
I saw that.
I smelled that. I would have left some snail trails.
Yeah, he came out and you were right. It's very hard to hear there because we were, and me included. Everyone is just yelling and cheering and clapping every time something happens.
And there's so much hubbub going on stage that you don't know how they're piecing this all together. These guys are swinging around these, you know, hundreds of pounds of cameras around, and Bob Barker's like in the eye of the storm with all the shit going on around him. They're like, this guy's gonna fucking get hit by something. I just crumble like a mummy. So anyway, the show starts. It's fucking great. Everything that I wanted to happen pretty much happened. What are some of the games? We saw Temptation. Do you want to talk about Temptation? Talk about Temptation. Temptation is the one that got fucked up during the recording.
Which one is that? Is that?
It's Temptation. But you know the story, how things got fucked
up. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, we were watching them record one of the games. And like the prop didn't cooperate with what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, the guy guessed a number and they put the wrong one up.
They put the
wrong one up. Couldn't get it back.
So they had to stop and reset. And as they were waiting to reset, Bob Barker, and very personable, great, really humorous guy. And he would also talk to us during the commercial breaks too. He came out and talked, he stepped forward and talked to the audience while they were resetting and said, you know, we're going to have to reset and do this over. Now, I know you're going to go to your friends when you watch this episode and say, look right there, that's the part where they screwed up.
During the Temptation game. And it's funny because when it happened, as soon as it happened, Bob turned to some random producer guy and said, okay, let's get this fixed. We'll do an insert. Get it. Hurry up. Stop tape. And all the lights went out. I'm pretty sure all the lights went out as soon as he said stop tape. And they fucking stopped tape. And he said, we're going to reset this. We're going to get the number right. We're going to do a close-up of me pointing at the number. And then we'll continue from there.
Yeah, he
like
already decided where they would pick up.
And it was like fucking clockwork.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you do something for, you know, 35 years, that's what happens.
Yeah, that was the one thing that went wrong on the show. And he had already come up with a strategy to fix it, like, when it happened.
It was great.
But it was great that he was razzing us. He was like, you know, I know you're all going to go home and tell everyone that we screwed up here. And
I know you're going to do that, but if you do, let them know that it's not Bob Barker's fault.
Very funny. He took questions from the audience.
He did.
During the commercials. Do you remember some of those?
They're retarded.
Oh, my
God.
Bob,
could you come to my wedding?
No. I'm fucking Bob Barker. Jeez, some horrible questions. It was stupid.
Bob, can I get a kiss? And then Bob will point to the person next door and give her a kiss.
Yeah.
He's
like, it's funny because I'm sure he's gotten so many of these questions before that he's just got responses automatically programmed in.
It's not like on the show
with the monkeys.
So that was just for Ryan. So
it worked.
So I mean, going to the Price is Right after loving the show so long, there's kind of things you kind of hope to see, and a few of those definitely happened.
Like, yeah, you had ideas of what games you wanted to see.
Number one, I think on Ryan's list and my list, is Cliffhangers, which is, if you know, the mountain climber.
And he yodels, right?
And it fucking happened. It was there. Cliffhanger was fucking there, and I saw it. I could kind of see the set, like, kind of behind the giant cover that they covered up with. And I was like, holy fucking shit, Cliffhanger. Oh, my God, this is so fucking great.
Anticipation.
This is great. And then they played it.
And you know what? One of the things you had mentioned going into it is like, oh, I hope they do Cliffhangers. That music's awesome. I couldn't hear music to save my life.
I was under a speaker. I could barely hear it.
Yeah.
We'll play some of that right now. That's what's playing right now is Cliffhanger, for those of you that don't know.
Wow. Good luck editing. Write down what time this is.
No, we're good. Post-production. I can't even think about what other games. Save Crackers.
They did the dice game.
They did the dice game.
That's one of my favorites from back in the day.
God, so much. I think I was the only person. One of the things I was very excited about was someone got to bid on probably the most gaudy dining room set with huge chairs, like wooden chairs on the back, and Michael C. Fina dinnerware, and like a place to put your dishes. I thought I was going to cry. I stood up and I started cheering so loud. I was the only one in the whole audience that was fired up because my dream, like, that's what you want to win on The Price is Right. Fuck the cars. Fuck everything else. I want a dining room set because no one ever buys those dining room sets in real life. So when someone comes over and sees your high-backed wooden chairs
and this thing to put dishes in,
and they're definitely gonna ask about it,
and you can say, "Oh, this?
Oh,
this little thing?
This is. There's only one place you can get those.
Dice game.
Sweet. So, just all around the show. Two $1 spins.
Two $1 spins.
Which was great
on the big wheel. I mean, God, no one would listen for this long if they don't watch the show, right?
Who knows?
They have a big wheel that they spin. And
it's lost hiatus. Maybe they'll listen to anything. Claire is another.
You poor fucking hostage audience. I apologize. Daybreak podcast fizzled because the show got freaking
Your
day pulled.
Rape?
No, that podcast is going well. Thank you.
Good.
Are you...
The Roofie Hour with Ben.
No. Daybreak with, it was a replacement. Continue.
I was going to say that, like I said, before you knew it, the show was almost over, and, I mean, we obviously didn't get called up. But a lot of people around us did, so you'll definitely see us on the show on Wednesday. We're sitting on stage left. No.
We're sitting
house left, which if you look at the audience, we're on the right-hand side. I'm wearing a bright yellow Hawaiian shirt.
And I'm wearing a yellow Hawaiian shirt.
And what?
I was also wearing a yellow Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, sweet. That day was a fucking blur.
And Ryan was wearing an angel cap.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's something. There was a girl in line.
Oh, yeah. Your sister.
Which my sister pointed her out. We knew she was going to get picked. Because her name was Starlight.
Starlight.
Sunlight?
Sunshine.
Sunlight. Her name was
Sunshine?
Sunlight. Sunlight. Her name was Sunlight. And we're like, well, fucking, she's going to get picked. And she was right behind me.
Yeah.
So when you see Sunlight get called, which is a little bit later in the show, you'll see my fat ass stand up, turn around, and high-five her, because when you get called up, everyone's your friend.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an old lady that decides who's on house left, who's sitting on the opposite side. You'll see her. She's an old lady, and she decides to run around the back of the audience.
Yeah.
And then come down the aisle. Well, I was sitting pretty close to the aisle, so I gave her a high five as well. So look for the old lady.
Yeah, she took like a pre-victory lap.
Dude, that's trust me. If you get called to come on down, that's a victory.
Bob had a joke about that, too.
He did. We'll save that for when you watch it.
That's right. So keep an eye out.
It's an on-air joke. And I think there's some jock that sat, like the USC kids, some retarded jock. And if you're out there listening, you're retarded. So this dude.
That's Ralph.
So
Ralph at Darmholar's podcast.
So this artard from USC, because he was kind of a douche. He was like a jock kind of a douche. He's not going to listen to podcasts.
A jock
He's
douche.
Too busy date raping.
That's if you get. Oh, geez.
What?
He should listen to my podcast? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Fabulous 60-minute Darmholars. So anyway, I figured we'd edge it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking about waiting in line and shit.
I know.
Make sure people are still paying attention. So anyway, this douche and a half comes running down. I give him a high five, too. So you'll see me. I mean, what did I have? Did I have a goatee? Did I have a goatee? No, I had a Van Dyke.
Fucking Wooly Willy over here.
I had a Van Dyke. I have a beard right now. So you'll see me. I have my glasses on. I styled my hair. I never fucking style my hair ever.
You know, you look just like you look in that picture of yourself on the Blogspot.
Oh, yeah. Go to scottandsteve.blogspot.com and look at my picture. Or...
Darmalar's pot? Oh, all right.
We'll get to that later. Right. We'll actually do
Darmalar's pot is what I was smoking earlier.
Hell yeah, Wink. Dude. So
played it off.
We realized, we pretty much realized that
so done with Ryan.
None of us.
Most condescending.
Because we fucked over.
Can't USC. Tell. I can't fucking tell a joke
USC
without Ryan,
Ryan.
Just pissing on me.
USC Ryan. Artard.
USC Ryan the fucktard. The F-tard.
So anyway, the show is pretty much coming to a close, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to get called to come up. I'm not going to be able to meet Bob Barker unless something happens. There's only one thing that could happen.
What's
that? That will continue to allow me to keep my hopes up that I'll be able to meet Bob Barker. Because we're sitting on house right.
Left, house left.
Because we're sitting all the way to the right side of your screen, we knew that in the showcase showdown, if there's a double overbid,
which
a
is rare
double overbid, that there's no winner, which means that they don't have there's no one to focus on during the end credits.
If there
of the
were
show.
A winner, then Bob Barker would be
hanging out with him,
hanging out with them.
Yeah, it's like 99% of the time.
Yeah, but there were if there's no winner,
then Bob Barker comes down to the audience, particularly the area we were sitting at. And they roll the credits over footage of Bob shaking hands with.
And you started thinking about this like before it happened?
At the commercial break, because we were thinking it was a double overbid. Because it was pretty awful. Awful. But I was very excited at the notion that these people overbid. And I was like, holy shit. And they fucking double overbid. I'm like, holy shit. And I heard the crowd go, aw. Like they're all pissed. And it like was a blur. And the next thing I know, Bob Barker's like, probably 15 feet away from us, and I'm like, I don't care what I have to do right now to shake his hand, but I'm gonna fucking do it. I took my sister. My sister went, Ryan, and then a bunch of other folks, and me and my sister were kind of sitting close to the aisle, so both our eyes like lit up big time, and he started getting close enough, and my sister shook his hand, and I shook his left hand with my also left with my right hand. It was a very awkward shake, but I did shake Bob Barker's hand
nice. That
day. And Ryan says he thinks that I might actually have gotten that handshake on camera. I'm hoping that they don't cut away too soon, but we'll see.
It's on Wednesday, right?
It's on Wednesday, the 24th of January. If there's footage of me on TV of me shaking Bob Barker's hand, I'm going to fucking flip out.
You better TiVo that on highest quality.
It's TiVo'd on highest quality 1 minute before, 1 minute after to make sure that it's all recorded. And it'll be kept until I delete and it'll be going onto DVD from the burner on the TiVo.
If you get that, then we got to screen cap the hell out of that, because that would be tight.
Guys, I cannot tell you or encourage you enough. If you guys are in the Southern California area before June, try to get tickets to go to the Price is Right if you're mildly a fan, because you will have the time of your life.
It's a lot of fun. It was a fun show to go see taped.
And apparently, if you're in the Vegas area, I think at the Mirage, they have a Price is Right dinner show.
Oh, that's
it's like
cool.
$40, and it's like a dinner show, I think, and you can get called down and actually win shit.
Well, we're going to be in Vegas.
We'll be there soon.
Sooner or later. Have you ever seen any other show taped before?
Super Password is the only show I've seen taped before.
I saw an episode of Full House. Ryan saw Veronica's Closet.
Was Dan Cook on that episode?
Oh, no.
That sucks.
Dan of the Dan Band.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, I saw Full House because I went to high school with that girl.
She's from Downey. My hometown. Like, anyone's going to fucking care where Downey is. Sorry about that. That was useless information I gave out.
Anyone that uses any freeway should care about Downey.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Five major freeways go through Downey. So, anyway, that was pretty much The Price is Right. It went, came and went in a blur.
Yep. And then we were done. We went to Cantor's, which was also awesome.
Which is a Jewish delicatessen in Los Angeles. Ryan, don't even give me shit. Don't even give me shit.
It is. It is. It just seems like...
we went to Cantor's.
Redundant. Went to Cantor's, yeah.
It was a Jewish deli. And Ryan wants me to tell everybody about the time we left Cantor's. And there was two women standing there. Our server and an elderly lady who's been working there for 40 years. I told the server Merry Christmas because, you know, it's that time of year.
It was
I told the
4th,
older Jewish lady Happy Hanukkah. And Ryan gave me shit for it. And I know he's itching to come over and give his side of the story, but...
So are you saying that he shouldn't have said Christmas to the first lady? It's, you know, it's spread around the cheer. Happy holidays to everyone, and I'll name specific ones to specific people.
Yeah.
That's fine. I had a corned beef sandwich. It was good. All
right,
so...
My stomach was a knots. I had a crappy sandwich before The Price is Right, and then The Price is Right being excited didn't help, so I just ate some pickles. What do you got going over there?
This is Mr. Prickly.
What?
Oh. Don't pay any attention to him.
Don't pay attention to Mrs. Prickly. Now we're talking about My Name is Earl.
Well, so sum it up. What was the overall?
Awesome.
Awesome. It was good.
What's my highlight?
Yeah.
Shaking Bob's hand.
Clearly.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I cannot even... You'd have to be as fired up about the show to understand how fired up I was.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing time, even though the fucktards that didn't show up to guarantee one of us a spot.
That was kind of a letdown, but it all worked out okay in the finish.
Okay, because I got to meet Bob.
Exactly.
Which, hey, or shake his hand. He didn't fucking know who
I
was. No,
you met him.
That was it.
That was our time at The Price is Right. So... Are we going to have another interstitial, or are we just going to wait until Lost comes back?
We'll wait till Lost comes back.
All right.
But before we start talking about Lost, because I do want to talk about Lost, we do have something from Mr. Seattle Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, this is pretty sweet.
Totally forgot. He's a key member of the Darmalars.
And another key part of The Price is Right is the music.
Is the music. I mean, you've been hearing the music throughout this show from The Price is Right. Jimmy's got some more with some... information on the history of The Price is Right music. So why don't we just take it away to Jimmy? Go for it, bro.
Hello, everyone. It's Jimmy in Seattle. Back from the hiatus. Well, we're still on the hiatus, but we're nearly there. Remember there was a show called Lost? We all used to listen to it and watch it, and I begin to wonder what happened. I never agreed with this hiatus anyway. But never mind. It did occur to me that I'm possibly the only Darmalar... / Lost Initiative member who doesn't give everyone a little update on my comings and goings over the last week or so, and as it's been a couple of months, I thought I'd give you, for the first time, a very brief overview. What a horrible couple of months. The weather has been appalling in the northwest. Snow, ice, windstorms, and then again, snow, ice, windstorms. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible. Somewhere in December, my car ended up down a bank. Cost a ton of money to get recovered. That was a pain. We were gouged as a region by towing companies and police departments and stuff, who basically took full advantage of the bad weather and in a despicable way gouged people for money, and I was a victim of that. And I had the choice of either put up an argument or, you know, get savaged by a couple of pit bulls. So I ended up having to pay up. And then my clutch went shortly after that. And just before Christmas, I discovered that I'd actually bought my car all over again. Phew. Yeah, that was rough. I'll say that. I did have a couple of friends who helped me out, though. Thank you. And then I'm getting laid off on top of that. So, you know, more time to watch Lost. And maybe the price is right. Could have been a better couple of months. But you know what? Throughout all that, suddenly out of nowhere, there was this voice. I could hear it, and it said,
"Who will it be? Who will it be?"
Bob, it's going to be Jimmy in Seattle. Come on down! Do you like me down my last t-shirt? It's great, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sean, please. Okay, please. Please stop. Hey, I know. Thank you, America. I love you. I love you too. Thank you. So how about that? Looks like 2007's looking up. Short introductory pieces, particularly in television shows, are known as cues. And one of the most prolific cue writers in America is a gentleman called Ed Kalehoff. Now, I apologise if his name is Kalehoff, but I think it's Kalehoff. Either way, this man is responsible for nearly 1,000 cues that are very commonly associated with American television. Not only is he one of the musical directors for ABC, he also is responsible for the majority of the cues on The Price is Right. In fact, in the background now, you're actually listening to one of the older Price is Right themes from the very early 70s. There are other TV programs he's associated with. For example, Monday Night Football, World News Tonight, Wide World of Sports, Nightly Business Report, Trivia Trap, Double Dare, Finders Keepers, Think Fasts. All stuff I don't know anything about, I might add. There are also several news broadcasting networks across the country that use his music and cues as their intros. Now, you may be forgiven for thinking that there's the same music playing in the background, but this is actually slightly different. You're now listening to the present Come On Down theme. And the reality is, there isn't much different to the one back in 1975. And that's one of the things about game show cue kind of music. I mean, to be honest, think of news broadcasts. For 50 years, we know what a news broadcast intro sounds like. It's always the same. Short, sharp, urgent. The Price is Right is no different. Get down there quick, because if you don't, you're not going to win that car. Now, of course, you can't give Ed Kalehoff all the credit. The fact is, the original Price is Right main theme was written by Sheila Cole. I'd also like to point out that I wish you'd never written it, because it's been stuck in my head for like 4 days, ever since I took on this frigging assignment. I hum it at work, go to bed, I think about it, But that's the point, isn't it? She did her job well, just like Ed does his job. It invades your memory. The key to the perfect jingle. And you've got to admit, this bit here is awesome. Now here's a really good reason why you should always listen to the Dialogues. You're going to hear something brand new. Well, old and new. Here's exactly the same tune. No different except it's slightly sped up with slightly different instruments and slightly different orchestration. And this was never aired. This was a version of the Sheila Cole theme for a 1983 Price is Right special. And they never aired it. So, as you can tell, there's absolutely no difference at all. It's just slightly faster, but interesting they didn't air it. I wonder why. Well, to be honest, before I pull my hair out, that's all I can take of game show music for this week. But guess what, guys? We know what's coming up. In a matter of days, our favourite show starts all over again. Sorry. That's my other favourite show. Now, this is more like it. It's going to be really nice to be back. This is Jimmy in Seattle, signing off. Namaste. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that's great. No, thanks. Please. Wasn't ending.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, there you go.
And, I mean, the Dharmalars wouldn't be the Dharmalars without him.
That's right.
And speaking of the Dharmalars.
Speaking of the Dharmalars.
If you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it on our new feed, which thank you for checking us out on the new feed.
That's right. Which is it easier to find now? I mean, I saw you found it on iTunes earlier.
Yeah, you go on iTunes.
Go on iTunes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're listening to this, you've probably already done it, but tell your friends
That's
how
true.
To do it.
Yeah.
Go on iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in Dharmalars, and bam, you'll see the yellow
bam.
Dharma monster,
the
Dharmalars
monster.
Logo.
Rawr. So, yeah, and it's cool. And then Ralph has spent a lot of man hours this week.
And a couple women hours, because,
yeah,
man.
God. Put it, sit at the computer in a dress for a while.
Yeah. I put all the episodes up
on our new Blogspot.
Well, that's the thing, is this is all technical junk. Our Blogspot's actually linked to our iTunes, so whatever I put a file up on the Blogspot, you can listen to it there, but it'll automatically go to iTunes mere seconds later. So that's going to be our home base for our shows.
And if anyone's listening now because they were looking for a lost podcast, they can go and check out our Blogspot at dharmalars.blogspot. No, Dharmalars Podcast.
No.
dharmalarspodcast.blogspot.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
dharmalarspodcast.blogspot.com.
We go there and we write to people.
I haven't really been hanging out there a lot because I still like scottandsteve.blogspot.com. But, I mean, hey, visit us either place. That's where we tend to spend our days chatting.
Yeah.
Talking about Lost. We still have the same Dharma line, 206-338-4261. And people who have already called the Dharma line, we're not going to have a You All Everybody segment today, but that'll show up on our next Lost episode. So don't worry, your calls will be heard.
That makes sense.
If you want to get in touch with us in private, as opposed to the Blogspot, dharmalars@gmail.com. Visit our MySpace page at myspace.com/dharmalars. And that's pretty much it.
So what's going on with Lost? Are they still releasing those Lost minutes? Have you been checking those out?
No, those are kind of spoilery for me. The only thing spoilery I'll get into is the bumper like promos for the following week's episode.
Okay.
but I don't watch the Lost Minutes because that's the shit they're going to show.
That's like snippets from episodes.
Yeah,
that's,
so, I mean.
Well, there was something that was like, God, like there's some post that you put on the old blog spot that I went on there, and the title was nothing to do with it, but I got on there, and then it got a little spoilery, and I backed out with a quickness. And I don't remember what it was, but.
I don't think I posted anything
spoilery. I think someone was replying to something that you had said.
Like I come up with a theory and someone said, no way, Ralph, because I
this
saw...
this was happening. Yeah, something like that. But when does it come back? Do we have a date?
February 7th.
February 7th.
That is 3 days before Stevie's birthday.
That's true.
That's 11 days before my birthday.
Keep it coming.
And it's... this is a math problem because I know when your birthday is. It's said the 7th, so that would be 18 days before Ben's birthday.
That's right.
It's what February is quite the month.
It is. It's an awesome month.
And it's the last Aaron
and
Ryan's
Seth.
Fiance.
And our friend in Virginia who probably doesn't even listen, Seth.
Yeah.
His birthday.
The guy we made fun of on episode one or whatever.
He's a staple.
But yeah, this is weird. We are like 29 days away from me turning 30.
I know, dude.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck am I doing?
I don't know, but you need to come up to the other side where I am, because it's awesome here. Oh. Being 30 is the tits. Ryan, no, don't tell him. Ryan's trying to warn him off. No, dude, keep getting older. It's cool. Trust me.
So, anyway, big month coming up. I don't know if we'll do a podcast before.
Before Lost comes back?
Before Lost come back.
We could do like a quick prediction
short. We'll do something short. We'll give you. We'll be around.
We'll be active.
We'll do something.
Drop us a line.
We're big. We're tough. We're active. Alabama, man. So, what do you say we get out of here? I don't even. Do you? Can you even think of anything to
I'm
go out
beer.
On? You're making beer. When are we going to get together and make labels so we can post that so people can see your beer label?
Sometime soon, like this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Or next week, whatever.
Let's do it. We'll do it after the Saints Bears game.
There you go.
All right.
I'm making beer. My parents were gracious enough to catch the hints that I kept dropping about getting a beer making kit for Christmas, and so they totally gave it to me. And it's in bottles on my table right now, fermenting.
I got a picture of Kit making beer.
What?
Yeah, Knight Rider.
Making beer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, the label's done then. the beer label is decided.
Kit making beer for my beer making kit.
Oh, I get it.
You didn't get it? I thought you just didn't think it was funny.
What if Eartha Kit was making beer for me?
Oh, punch her?
Can I drink the beer after you punch her?
Yes.
Best day ever.
What if her cocoa butter gets in there?
Oh, gross. Yeah, we don't have anything to talk about. We just talked about The Price is Right. You saw Pan's Labyrinth. I saw Children of Men. Those are both kind of genre-y.
Yeah.
Lost is kind of genre-y.
I don't know.
We got nothing. It's categorized. It's in a category.
I have nothing left to talk about Lost.
Okay.
I just watched season one in the past 4 days. I'm going to watch season two in the next 4 days.
I'll just hold all my questions until the next time I'm in an elevator with Dr. Jack.
Sweet. But I think that's it. Can you think of any Price is Right themed exit?
Shoot. Well, there's a classic from a certain golf movie.
Okay, you say that one. I'll say mine.
Okay. Well, all right, guys. I'd like to thank Ryan for helping us out, as always. And I'd like to thank Seattle Jimmy for hooking us up. And from everyone here at the Darmalars, we'll see you next time. The price is wrong, bitch.
And this is Ralph telling you to help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered. Goodbye.